Good morning. My name's Peter Aquilina. I'm a oral and maxillofacial surgeon working in Western Sydney in Penrith and Westmead. And my experience and work in that part of Sydney leaves me no doubt that alcohol-related harm is a significant issue for our community. According to New South Wales government statistics, in the year 2010 to 2011, nearly 2% of all hospital admissions could be attributed to alcohol. The same source says that the number of people seeking hospital treatment for alcohol-related harm has been increasing over the last 10 years. At the same time, there's also been an increase in the number of people drinking at high-risk levels. An earlier Australia-wide survey between 1993 and 2001 showed that in that 8-year period, there were nearly 600,000 hospital admissions that could be related directly to high-risk alcohol consumption. Almost 70% of those admissions were for acute problems. Most of those would have been for trauma. None of this would come as a surprise to anyone here. In fact, it's probably not a surprise to anyone living in New South Wales or the ACT or Australia, in the general Australian population. We've all seen reports on TV showing drunken brawls and people being injured. We've probably seen people driving erratically on the road under the influence of alcohol. Maybe we've seen a car accident with the person crashing their car and mangling themselves and their passengers as a direct result of their alcohol consumption. I believe that there's a perception in the community that these problems are isolated or restricted to hotspots in Sydney, such as King's Cross. But my experience is that that's clearly not the case. As I said, I work in Western Sydney, and in my local health districts, there were more alcohol-attributable hospitalisations in 2010 to 2011 than there were in the Central Sydney Area Health Service. In terms of raw numbers, we had the third highest number of alcohol-related incidents requiring hospitalisation for both men and women. I see the results of these fights and these injuries at a much closer level than most people do. Every day, especially on the weekends, if you visit any of our emergency departments, you'll see the results of alcohol-related trauma sitting there just to be seen. Unfortunately, what should be shocking to me is no longer shocking. I've seen it so often that I've become desensitised to it. The injuries we see are the young men and women with their noses spread across their faces. The patient sitting in ED with his jaw in so many places that he can't close his mouth and he's leaning over, dribbling blood and saliva onto the emergency department floor. The young woman who's lost all her front teeth from a single punch and now can't afford the expensive dental treatment to replace her teeth to return her to some semblance of normality. The patient who's now blind or has chronic visual problems after having his eye socket smashed into pieces by a punch or a kick. The effects don't just impact those that are immediately involved. Hospital beds and theatre slots are a precious resource. Every time I take a patient to theatre after hours to treat their facial injuries, it's a possibility that your elderly relative may have their operation to fix their fractured hip delayed. Every time I take one of these patients to theatre during in hours on my regular operating list, there's a possibility that I might need to postpone someone's operation for corrective facial surgery who's been waiting for months or years to have their surgery completed. And of course, we shouldn't forget the alcohol-fuelled aggression towards nursing and medical staff and allied health people within the hospital itself. As a junior doctor, I was assaulted by a drunken patient, and I've lost count of the number of times myself or colleagues have been verbally assaulted by people under the influence of alcohol. But there is a solution to this. These alcohol-related injuries are entirely preventable if we could only cut back on the amount of excess alcohol being drunk. We already have courses of action mapped out, and these courses of action are proven to be very effective. We know that the solutions put forward by the Foundation for Alcohol Research and Education in its 10-point plan and also the Newcastle trials of lockouts and restrictions on the sale of alcohol at night absolutely work, and they absolutely reduce the amount of injury and trauma that we see in hospitals. We need to get these implemented on a wider scale so that there'll be fewer people in our hospitals there for the sole reason that they or someone else drank to excess. Thank you.